This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
On the left wing side to Hellenius. Hamrick's taking a look around. There's just no lane to shoot. Turned out top of the slot and all on the near wing again. Clegg digs it out. 55 seconds to go in the power play. Left wing boards pass out top. One takes shot. They score! That's Kulik. Gets a perfect pass from Rusek. One timer low inside the back post. And the Hamrick's take the lead.
The game winner last night for the Rochester Americans, courtesy of Yuri Kulik. Don Stevens on the call there. And that was a wild game between the Rochester Americans and the Laval Rocket. Plenty of more time to talk some hockey. We did it to kind of preview our discussion here with Joe Yurden joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Joe, did you get a chance to catch game two there between Rochester and Laval, or were you working on some NHL stuff there?
No, I was actually able to get free to go to Rochester last night. Awesome game. Awesome game for Rochester. And a big step up from I guess, what was a little bit sloppier of a game one. Because Coach Mike Leone was beyond happy about how they played in game two. So that was encouraging. But you saw the big guys kind of show out for the Amherst last night. You know, Kulik, that shot is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We know how good it is, but that was a power play goal that came from just, you know, up top of the zone, not his usual spot in the circle. And a lot of that was because they were shadowing Cale Clegg so hard, because he had another goal in the playoffs. He's been unbelievable for them. I know Isaac Rosane gets a goal. I'm missing some other guys here, but a really solid effort from everybody all around. You know, Levi stood his ground in net, so that was really good. And, you know, they got down 3-2 at one point in that game, and it was starting to look a little bit like game one, but the Amherst turned it around on them. And, you know, great effort by everybody. Lucas Rusek had a great finishing goal there to kind of seal it up, or to get it tied again, I should say.
Yep.
But yeah, really good game out of the Amherst there, and you know, going back up north, and you know, if they're gonna win it, they're gonna have to do it in five, and you got to do it all up north. Well, you don't have to do it in five; you can do it in four if you win the next.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Two, but you got to do it all up in Laval now, so that's gonna be harder. But you know, it's a homecoming for Levi, so if he shows out, I wouldn't be surprised, and it's a great opportunity for the Amherst.
Great opportunity for the Amherst, but also, Joe, was that game reminiscent of like playing NHL hits? My goodness, it feels like Laval's game plan is they can't call all of it, so just do everything.
I didn't get to see a lot of game one. A lot of it was highlights because I was in Toronto for game five between the Panthers and Leafs. But last night was definitely a start scrums whenever possible, try to get under the skin, intimidate the whole nine yards. And I was really impressed with how Rochester handled it. I mean, it's not like these two teams are unfamiliar with each other, play each other 100 times during the regular season. I may be over exaggerating a little bit, but you know, but like when you play each other that many times during the regular season, you know what the other team's offering. And you know, last night was that was extra aggressive stuff from LaValle. And you know, the Amherst players picked the right moments when it was like, okay, time to retaliate. And because you can't mix it, you can't just get into it every single time, because it's gonna, you know, at some point the referees will get tired of it and throw everybody in the box, and then you know that's a bad time. But the Rocket were working themselves up into a lather. Because the Amherst just weren't taking the bait every single time. Sometimes, you know, you take a shot in the mug, skate away, and then they're like, hey, where are you going? Come back here. I want to smack you in the face a few more times. And I said, no, not right now. And then, you know, it gets a little bit too much, and then you push back and, you know, take your own shots, and then they take one each off the ice, and there you go. But certainly late in the game, and, you know, sometimes you gotta work the refs in your own little way. You know, late in the game, Florida Jekai crashes through the net, and Devin Levi did a little bit of a, oh my God, I just got hit, even though it wasn't, you know, he didn't get blown up, but still it was a guy untouched, kind of getting into his crease, getting into his business. So, you know, let the refs know that, hey, this guy just came plowing right through, and Jekai was furious that he was called for interference because he ate a cross check right after it. And he was yelling at the ref the whole way to the box, and he slips and falls, and the fans just absolutely ate it up. So it's, you know, one of those things where it started to get out of hand for LaValle, and it got worse as it went along. So, you know, it's very interesting to see, you know, especially when you can't help but compare things to the Sabres, but picking your moments and when to, you know, when to give it back. And, you know, this group seems to understand, you know, when it's right, when it's not right to do that. They certainly had a handle on it last night.
And that is the thing, Joe, that you mentioned of the big names, like those guys that Sabres fans should be familiar with. Those are the ones that did show up here today or yesterday. And of course, Rochester's Lord and Savior himself, Cal Clegg. But it is becoming this thing of these prospects, because when we talked to start the Sabres coverage for the season, one of my biggest questions to you was, is Jiří Kulík ready to go? And it looks like he is not alone anymore in that adventure. Konstantin Hellenius had a play where he weaves through three people, and it's almost a goal. Like, it's swept away at the goal line. But it looks like these guys, these top prospects of the Sabres, they really are showing up. And last night, it really was the case once again.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Hellenius gets a little bit lost in the mix because, you know, I mean, you send Kulík back and everybody's like, whoa, okay, they're serious. They want to win this thing. And yeah, they do. They very much do. But, you know, it's easy to forget that Hellenius is, you know, 18, 19 years old, playing in the AHL. And, you know, he didn't put up massive numbers this season. He didn't, you know, he wasn't doing any of that. But these last couple months, from watching more of the games and getting to watch a little bit more of how he plays, when he was drafted, I mean, the confidence just oozes off of Hellenius. He knows how to play. He knows his limits. He knows what to do, and honing that and getting used to playing in the AHL and, you know, learning where he can go, what he can do, and what his limits are. And now he understands a lot better of what he can and can't do out there, and learning that and having the confidence to be able to do things, and also having the competitive, you know, like a bulldog competitive nature. He's just able to do things now where it makes him a bit more dangerous offensively, but he's such a pain in the rear end in the defensive end of the ice, because he's right on guys' hips. He's right, you know, he's right there. You know, if guy wants to feed him a cross check, he'll feed him right back to him, you know, and he's not a big dude. I mean, he's, you know, 5'10", 5'11", whatever he is, but like, he's just not going to get messed with. It's very Zach Benson-y. If I want to make Zach Benson into a verb here or an adjective, but like, it's very much of that, you know, kind of cut of the same jib, because he's able to do a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, that play he makes last night was just, it's superb stuff, and unfortunately it didn't turn into a goal, but But it's just a kind of, you know, a little bit of a taste of like what he can do. And, you know, we saw that from a few guys last night. Noah Austin, I mean, Laval had a rush up ice, and I yapped about this one enough as it happened. I think it was first period. And Laval had guys crash into the net. You know, Amerks had the guys sealed off, so that, you know, so that's good. So the guy's coming up the wing, and Austin has perfect body position on him. And the guy tries to, like, peel back a little bit in the motion so he can, like, swing around and try to get a puck to the net. And Austin just picks his pocket, skates away, and hits Roseanne for a breakaway attempt that, you know, I asked Roseanne if after the game if he understood, if he knew how alone he was in being able to get a breakaway. He said, yeah, I knew. He goes, but I was just trying to do some fancy stuff, and, yeah, I couldn't pull it off. He's like, we had 2 weeks off. I wanted to try something cool. And I'm like, you know what? Respect, man.
Joe, shifting to the NHL playoffs now, we're dealing with the arguably two best words in sports, Game 7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really surprised we're seeing a game 7 between Florida and Toronto, because game 5, I think I said this in my post game on Bleacher Report. I don't know if I said it on there, but I was definitely saying it to people. That might have been one of the worst playoff performances I've watched ever. It was so bad by Toronto, and it was like a masterclass of what it's like to deal with the Panthers, and or a masterclass from the Panthers and a failure from Toronto in how to deal with it. And how do they come back from it? They play the best game they've ever played in the playoffs in the last 10 years last night in Florida, where it was just the perfect game, the perfect effort. They get a shutout, 2-0, and now they're coming back home where they can rewrite their narrative now. You know, or they can add another chapter to what it's, you know, to, oh, those Leafs, you know, it's remarkable. It's it's something else, because you figured Florida was dead in the water after the first two games. And then after game 5, you're like, oh, well, the Leafs are done. This is over. And now here we are, game 7, best winner take all, you know, then you get to face Carolina. Good luck. But yeah, it's something else. And I mean, you know, Matthews gets his first second round playoff goal, which I cannot believe I'm saying that, but they've only been there right twice with him, so yeah, makes sense. But it's on those guys. It's on Marner, it's on Matthews, Nylander, the whole group, to rewrite the narrative that, you know, they can't do it, they can't come up with a win, they can't, you know, can't whatever. But heck of a game 6. That's a heck of a game 6 for them. But Florida's a champs for a reason. You got to win 4. You got to beat them in 4. You know, you got to beat them 4 times, not beat them in 4. I didn't do that, but yeah, the game 7 in Toronto though, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to be up there.
And I'd imagine what the scene's going to be like there, Joe. But also, something I said earlier, Toronto has an opportunity to do one of two things: either complete their destiny as the worst game 7 team of all time, or finally break the chain, and people will have to take them seriously as a cup contender because, well, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals at this point. There's a legitimate shot. You can do this now.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the whole thing with them is that they've been playing this kind of style of hockey all season where it's very not what we've been used to seeing from the Leafs, where it's very high octane, you know, let those offensive guys, you know, go to town and, you know, flood the zone with shots and then score goals and, you know, and all that. I mean, it's crazy to think that Matthews had almost 70 goals last year and, you know, he's dealt with injuries and all that kind of stuff this year, but like the numbers came, came down a bit there. I mean, Marner still had a fantastic season, but the offensive numbers were down a bit anyways, but the defense played better. You know, the goaltending was better. And it just seemed like, it's like, oh, well, it seems like they've grown up. It seems like, oh, this is their moment. This is their time where it's, if they're going to do it, it's going to be now. And, you know, they get through Ottawa after, you know, again, Ottawa series, they played another stinker at home where they could have, you know, locked up the series. Then they lose. And then you're like, oh boy, here we go. Here come the Leafs. And, you know, played a much better game on the road and finished the series. And same thing around this time, which I cannot imagine the agita it's providing for the fans where it's, you know, they start off great and you're like, oh, it's cool. Here we go. This is our time. And then get kicked in the teeth a few times and they're like, all right, well, I guess that's that. And now here we are again. But you know, you signed Craig Berube to be a coach to kind of help that team mature and grow up. And they have, but the big question, and especially we were asking it after game five, we're like, is this style and what the guys that he's running with here, is this a mix? Does this work? And it's just a matter of just, I don't know if it's a sense of pride or whatever, but just getting everybody running in the same direction and making it work together. And it certainly worked last night, that's for sure.
Joe Yurden joining us here on the Western Hotline, noted hockey, Bleacher Report, good friend of the show here. Joe, there's other teams, obviously still playing hockey. Dallas and the Jets, game six tonight. Connor Hellebuyck with his second shutout of this series. Mm-hmm. To help extend it. But now Hellebuyck on the road has not been pretty this year in the playoffs. Mm. That's something they absolutely have to overcome in order to force a game seven out there in the West.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like Hellebuck's a bit of a wild card, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but, you know, we saw it in the first round where it was just a nightmare for him, and they survived. And you're wondering like what the heck happened between regular season and playoffs, because it's not just a talking point. It's a thing, because playoffs have been rough for him through his career. You know, and part of that was because, you know, the Jets weren't loaded up and they didn't quite have the best team. It was, and Hellebuyck had to play 65 games in a season to even get him to the playoffs. And, you know, it's been kind of that way again this year. I think he and Vasilevsky were tied or had the most starts this year in the league in the regular season. But we're seeing more of the guy who's going to win the Vezina this year. That bold prediction there, guys. I don't know if you know that, but he's probably going to win the Vezina again this year. But we've seen more of that guy in this round. Granted, when Mikko Rantanen decides to go Super Saiyan and say, you know, that's enough, I'm going to do this, then all right, you know, what can you do? But I mean, Dallas getting, once Heiskanen got back in there, you're like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And, you know, Robertson gets back, and you're like, uh-oh, Dallas, two of Dallas's biggest players are now back from injury and ready to go. And then it's like, that's unfair. That's really unfair. And then, you know, you still got Wyatt Johnston out there. You still got, you know, you got Jamie Benn out there being kind of a dirtbag, you know, the dirty tricks and all that stuff. And it's, you're just like, Dallas just looks so nasty and they play mean and they play hard. And yeah, it's really interesting. And for Winnipeg, I mean, geez, you have such a great regular season, and now you're fighting tooth and nail just to stay in it, you know, each round. And you wonder if maybe Hellebuck's got a couple rabbits in his hat left here to get him to the conference final. But I don't know, man. Dallas was my cup pick a year ago, and they had the road from hell to even get as far as they did. And it's working out to be the same way again for them this year. But it's just, they're so talented and they're so good. And, you know, you just wonder what, you know, if this is their time now to kind of seize the day and go for it.
Well, Joe, speaking of the conference final with Edmonton and Carolina already having moved on, what's the biggest storyline there so far, you think?
I think the biggest story for me is I think part of it's Carolina, because they've been under the radar as a team that just can't get it done in the playoffs. And, they ran into a hot goalie in the first round. Markstrom played awesome for Jersey, and they still made it look kind of easy despite that. And then against Washington, I mean, that's the best team in the Eastern Conference, and they made them look small time. They really did. And a big reason for that is they've taken – teams always try to – you're always trying to get power plays and everything to make the games a little easier for you and score easy goals. Carolina's killed both teams' power plays completely. Like, they've shut them down. And, you know, when you shut down Washington, it means you're keeping Ovi off the board, which, as we saw all season, really hard to do. And they made that look pretty simple. And, you know, they're a team that works, you know, it's four lines, it's 3D pairs, and it's especially Jacob Slavin. He's just so good. And Freddie Anderson's been fantastic in the playoffs. His team's making it easier for him, too. So that, to me, speaks volumes. Edmonton's a little bit more surprising, because they started off the playoffs without Ekholm, and you had a lot of questions about the goaltending. And first round, Stuart Skinner lasted two games. Then they're like, mm-hmm. We got to go to Calvin Pickard. And Pickard played great and got him back into it, and L.A. fell apart mentally and on the ice, and the Oilers took complete advantage of that. And that's what you do when you're a good team. And then, you know, Vegas looked tired. Vegas just looked tired as all get out. And I think they're a lot more banged up than let on. And, you know, Eichel was the one guy that was going for him, and he didn't have anybody else going with him.
Yep.
Aiden Hill played terrible. And yeah, it was a walk for the Oilers. So now they're excited. I mean, they get Kane back during the playoffs. They might be getting Ekholm back here soon. That makes them a lot more dangerous, because if they're able to get through L.A. and Vegas without Ekholm and, you know, without Kane for the most part, you're talking about a team that's now like, oh, they got a couple of their big horses back now. Uh-oh. So if it ends up being them and Dallas in the next round, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be an absolutely evil, wicked series.
A whole lot of potential for evil, wicked series everywhere there, Joe. I'm really appreciating everything that's going on there. I'm going to ask you a Sabres question.
Playoffs. We love teams that want to kill each other, right?
Well, I mean, beat each other, scoring great goals, you know, and then, yes, the attempted murder that comes along with it. But, you know, you take the bad with the good, Joe. Speaking of bad with the good, I have to ask you a Sabres question. With everything that's going on with the front office, obviously they hire Eric Staal as, you know, an assistant with Kevin Adams. There's a lot of like whispers about this like advisor role that's going on here. Lou Lamoriello trolls everyone with what I call a boomer move, heading to Buffalo just to renew his Nexus. I have to ask though, Joe, when it comes to this advisor role and anything like that, would you really expect at this point any sort of familiar name to really be joining them? Because I would expect it to not be the case. I'm not expecting a big name that's been in hockey, and based on the certain names, I don't want some of them. I don't want Lou Lamoriello here. What are your thoughts, though, on what this search is looking like with the Sabres?
Well, part of me wonders if, because it went from lots of discussion to everything went radio silent. You know, because the rumors were Ken Holland, and, you know, he signed on to become the Kings GM.
Yep.
And Lou Lamoriello, which I listen, the Nexus, if you've never gone through the Nexus process, if you got to go and do an interview, you've got like one of two places to do it, like on the East Coast. One of them's Fort Erie, and the other one's like up in Champlain, headed up towards Montreal.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So are you going to fly to Buffalo and take a 5-minute ride to Fort Erie, or are you going to fly to Montreal and take an hour ride south, or take a prop plane to Plattsburgh and drive, you know, drive a half hour? No, you're going to go to Buffalo. So, hilarious that they, that somebody caught Lou at the airport, but, you know, I think it was Pierre LeBrun had reported that, you know, Lou did talk to the Sabres, and, you know, that, you know, there was nothing came to an agreement there because, you know, for XYZ reason. So, but it's gone quiet, and it makes me wonder if there's somebody that's, you know, if they're still looking anyways, if there's somebody out there, is it somebody that's attached to a current team that's not in, you know, in that high of a role? Because you're obviously not going to get somebody who's a GM at another team and be like, hey, come and hang out and be an advisor here. Like, that's just not going to happen. But there's somebody there with one of these teams that's in a like a kind of a parallel position that could come in. That's, you know, that's got like the, you know, the years involved and the time involved in the game where, you know, listen, there's former players and, you know, guys who have been executives before at every team. So that doesn't really narrow down the list too much, but it's really interesting, and it just feels like there's a lot of moves that we're just kind of like sitting waiting on for the Sabres in general, because, you know, like are the assistant coaches coming back? You know, a couple of those guys had their, you know, their contracts were up, and, you know, are they looking at other teams? Are there other, you know, are there assistants with it elsewhere that, you know, maybe you're trying to figure out the right language to be able to bring them board or what, you know, or, you know, is there a process? Are they just negotiating new contracts for the guys? Who knows? You know, it's kind of radio silence on the Sabres part, and that's absolutely for the best. It's not great for us because we love it when names get out there and we want to talk about it. But you know, for the Sabres purposes, yeah, they don't want anybody talking about this stuff publicly. And I get it, I respect it, but I don't like it.
Right, and it's a lot because, like, you think about like those like old boys club names that you can think of too. Like the minute that Lou Lamoriello was spotted in the airport, I was actually terrified, Joe. I don't like what he did with the Islanders at this point. And I got to very afraid, but names like that, I don't want one of those, like a Chuck Fletcher or a Peter Chiarelli to come into the Sabres front office. No, I'd run for the hills. I might take a prop plane to Plattsburgh. You'll never see me again.
Well, listen, the Adirondacks are beautiful this time of year. So, if you did that, I wouldn't fault you. But no, it's a kind of thing because the way the Sabres front office is right now, this was all done internally, so to speak. These were the Pagulas, they picked Adams, and Adams has picked his people from there. So this is basically everything coming from within. This isn't, you know, NHL influenced, so to speak, you know, because the NHL always likes to, you know, provide some guidance when teams, you know, are looking for executives or whatever. But this all came from within. You know, Adams was already working here for a few years, and they, you know, brought him up the ranks and you know, put him in position here. So a lot of that is just very sort of organically produced. So now you're talking about, you know, an executive process where these are people who have the time in the NHL. And these are, you know, if it is somebody that's got like that kind of record, and, you know, it does have some of that old, you know, that old boys network kind of feel, but that's, you know, you're looking at somebody who's got a little bit more cachet around the league, which maybe that's something that Buffalo's looking to, you know, to add or to get back into the fold, you know, after, you know, you had Jason Bottrell, you know, as the GM for a bit. And he was a guy that was, you know, carving his way through, you know, through the NHL system. And, you know, Tim Murray was part of that beforehand. And, you know, Darcy for as long as he was part of that, you know, part of that machinery. Kevin Adams came from outside of all of that. And, you know, when you come outside of that, it's, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a, you know, it's a lot of it's networking, and a lot of it's who you know. And, you know, Adams didn't come up through all that, so there's not a lot of that, you know, kind of slapping each other on the back kind of, you know, sort of camaraderie, you know, when you think about it. But if you're looking for somebody to be part of the front office and to help out to kind of get them back into that fold, to get them into more of those conversations, then I completely understand it.
Joe, appreciate the time as always. And as we inch closer to the Stanley Cup Finals, just like as promised last time, I bet we do this again.
Well, just think, in a few weeks, we're going to have the combine here.
That's
so
right.
We're going to have prospects to start talking about and getting ready for that. So it's right when you think business slows down, it picks up again.
That's why we got you, Joe. That's why we got Paul. That's why we got you. That's why we've got friends, because we need friends in the right places here. Maybe a quick trip to Plattsburgh, though, too, you know?
I wouldn't advise it because
Plattsburgh's catching strays on this show, and I'm so sorry.
Not my jam, but I'd say if you're going to go to Plattsburgh, say skip it, just go north to Montreal.
There we go. There we go. Plattsburgh catching strays over here. Like, me? What did I do?
Oh, no. For me, it's never a stray for me because when you go to Oswego, you're never a fan of Plattsburgh.
Same with Buff State.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, right. No, never mind. It's not.
You go SUNY. That's right.
Yep. Yeah, so no love for the Suniac for Plattsburgh there. No, good call. Good call, Joe. That's why I talk to you about these things.
that's why I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Hey, man, there's no other show in the world that gets to diss on SUNY Plattsburgh because their hockey team was good. So, you know, that's what we bring here. Joe, appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, you got it, Derek. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, of course. That's Joe Yurden there on the West Her Hotline as we take shots at SUNY Plattsburgh.
More like the catapult has been released today.
Yeah.
Not even a stray.
Take a prop plane to Plattsburgh.
It's not a stray. It's a targeted
attack. What a line. That's the kind of stuff you get on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That right there.
None of it untrue.
None of it untrue.
Both
yeah.
of us from Buff State. Evan from Buff State. He probably agrees as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You ever have to make the drive to call a play-by-play game for a hockey game in Plattsburgh?
No, but I know someone who has, and I know it wasn't great.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. We'll start wrapping this thing up. About a half hour left on the weekend programming here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.